Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
This is my prayer and my fire. says this: have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he humbled himself. He took on the form of a human. He was born in human flesh. He humbled himself to the point of a servant, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And y'all, it's for that reason. Paul continues, he says, it's for that reason that God has bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The glory of God the Father. We have the opportunity this morning to see that he breaks our chains, that he takes our pain, that if we're lost, he shows us the way because he is the way. And the good news this morning, the things that we sing, they're all true. Because he is Lord. Amen.
Amen.
If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom for saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. Walking the same old road for miles and miles. If you've been hearing the same old voice and the same old lies. If you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains,
Thank you. age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me.
Jonah. We're going to be speaking on missions again, and we're not going to get really deep into Jonah. We're going to take a principle, one principle from each chapter of the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah is a wonderful book. Jonah is an old prophet, man. Before Isaiah, before Assyria became a superpower and started doing all the weird things that they did, this goes way back. Jonah's way back in the distance. And yet he was called to go on mission. He was called to do some things. And we're going to learn from Jonah. My wrestling coach, Coach Bill Tarbutton, he used to say this: nobody is useless because they can be used as a good, bad example, if nothing else. You know, so... Hey, there's times in my life I fall into that. Like, man, I ain't nothing but a good, bad example. And so Jonah falls into that realm, and we're going to look at this. But y'all, I want to encourage you. God has saved us for a reason. God has saved us for a purpose. God has a purpose for our lives. I'm stealing LG's sermon in a couple weeks, but I'm just telling you. God has a purpose for our lives. He really does. And when you start getting onto it, it makes everything exciting. You know, when you get saved, it doesn't mean you're going to go exciting places all the time. It just means when you go to places in Jesus' name, it's exciting. One of the best trips I've had in a long time, in a while, was On Thursday, this past Thursday, I went to Holcomb, Mississippi. Y'all ever been to Holcomb? Yeah. Hey, Holcomb's booming now. We got Dollar General. Nookie's got a facelift. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's doing good. There's some kind of big, I don't even know.
They got a red light.
Got a stop sign? Yeah, with a blinking light on it. We're fired up, man. But can I tell you, this past Thursday, we went out to Holcomb. So it's an 11 and a half minute drive. But we're going, Josh and I, going to Holcomb, he and I are talking. Who's going to show up, Dad? I don't know. What's going to happen when we get there, Dad? I said, I don't know. How's it going to be, Dad? I said, I don't know. Only thing I know is why we're doing it. We're doing it because God said go. God said tell folks. And I don't know who's going to show up. I don't know how they're going to show up. They might come and be angry at me. They might come and be really silly. I don't know who's going to come. As it turned out, it was so much better than anything I had thought. It was such a great start to what God's doing. It was a rainy night. It was dark and it was cold. And I had the air conditioner on high. No matter where you go, fat kid's a little bit hot. Okay? Just telling you. That's how it is. You know what I'm saying? I start blinking and all of a sudden I start sweating a little bit, you know, and my hair is there and it starts sweating. You know, it just happens. So I got these folks coming in into this room and it's cold air blowing out. Somebody had to give Tanya a Coke because he almost died. It reminded me, it's not about where you go. It's about being on mission wherever you go. You know, it's not about having to go far and talk to people way out that you don't know. It's about going places in the name of Jesus, and it's exciting. It's good. So as on our mission's emphasis, I want you to remember that. Being on mission with God is good. I'm going to go ahead and read this first verse. Everything's going to be on the bulletin. I don't know that there's going to be much up there because I didn't write the handout with specific verses on there. And so you'll need your Bible. If you have your Bible on your phone, that's okay. Get your Bible out. Turn to the book of Jonah. Or get this handout out. I got the scriptures on here too. All right? So we're in Jonah. I'm going to read the first three verses and we'll start talking about it. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be on mission with you. The book of Acts says, Jesus begun all his work in the Gospels, but he continues it in the book of Acts and beyond. And that's where we are. We're in that beyond. We're at the other ends of the earth from where the disciples started, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other ends of the earth. We're way out there. And Father, we're sitting here saying, we heard you. You know, we know you love us because you gave your Son to die for our sins. And now we want to be on mission for you, Lord. We've heard the good news and we're so thankful. Lord, we love you. Just grow us up as a church. Help us to be on mission this morning and just continue the growth that takes to be on mission with you every day. We love you, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's Missions Emphasis Month. Preaching on missions. We're going to have real live missionaries, people who did take their family, pluck it out of this southern U.S. soil and plant it on another continent. We're going to have folks talk to us. Two different couples, talk to us who did that very thing. You know, and just moved, just said, that's it. God called us and we're going. They heard the word and they went. We're going to hear from them. We're going to hear from a real live church planter right here in Grenada, Mississippi. He planted a really beautiful, good-looking group of, you know, people church. A fun church, a church where everyone is welcome. Can you guess which one it is? You think it's this one? It's when I said good looking, wasn't it? That's how you knew. Yeah, yeah. LG planted this church right here, man. He was part of the crew. There was a crew. There was four dudes and their wives and families, and they prayed, and there was other people too. But man, they prayed and they saw God, and they started a church where everyone is welcome. We're not asking who you are, where you're from, or what you got, or what your problems are. The door's just wide open. You know why? Because we've learned that in Jesus Christ, if you come to Him in faith, the door is wide open. And if Jesus will accept you, I know that He wants His church to say the doors are wide open. Come on in. That's what we're here to do. You get to hear His heart. We're going to have a young lady who, I don't know. You know how when you get old, like I'm getting old, and everybody seems young. So this young lady, she seems like she's but 15, but she's not. She's in her mid to late 20s. She's a teacher. And God's called her to just pick up her life and move to Honduras to teach people there about Jesus Christ and invest in their life. She's investing her life. She's not just thinking about it. God said, I'm looking for someone to go. She answered the call. She's going. She's going to speak to us not this Wednesday night, but the following Wednesday. There's 30-some people from Christ Community Church going to load up on several different... We got the bus that God gave us, the big 34-passenger or 34-seater bus. We got two 15-passenger vans, and we are heading to Fort Worth, Texas like a gospel army. Woo! We'll be singing, everywhere we go, people want to know who we are, so we tell them we are... Mighty, mighty. Okay, we need to work on that before we get to Fort Worth. We're going to Fort Worth, Texas to team up with a mission that's out there. It's called Beautiful Feet. They call themselves Beautiful Feet because the gospel says, beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And we're bringing good news to people who live in trash. Literally taking trash, put it together, pile it up, crawl in it, some of them. I mean, they just take, that's it. There's like a whole, you know, like when you go to the campground by Hugh White and there's all these little camp spots. Man, we are just going to be going by this river and they hope it don't flood. The police shut them down and send them out somewhere else when the weather says it's going to get bad. Because they are right on the floodplain of a river. We've saw people and families living under semi-truck trailers that were parked and staged in company lots. Because that's where they had to go. Now, I know I worked for a company. I know early in the morning, there's going to be a truck come hook up to those trailers, and they're going to go. Man, they live in dangerous places. A lot of them are you know, just shackled by addiction and poverty and lack of, you know. A lot of them, you might say, well, they made their bed down the line. They sure did make their bed. You've made yours, and I've made mine. Aren't you glad for a God who's merciful? And He's called us to go share with those folks. And I'm going to tell you, every time I've gone, I come back being two things. Humble by watching how these people have dedicated their life to serve the least, the last, and the lost. Humble by a seven-day-a-week church. Y'all, oh my goodness. There are people always in there. Always coming in. They're offering showers and they wash clothes and they give haircuts and they bring in medical doctors and they feed them a couple times a day, every day a week. And they say, we got our building and we got our place to serve God and you're welcome. You come on in. And it's exciting. But there's going to be 30 or so of us going. I always come away humble at how sacrificially they give of their time and of their building and of their things to serve those who got nothing. And they do it in the name of Jesus. I come back humbled. And this might sound contradictory, but I come back proud. I'm humbled by what I see, but I come back proud. Because every trip, last trip, we were sitting out there and there's a whole group of people and this person needed prayer. Man, this is the second week in a row I'm bragging on Rivers. Golly, but man, I've watched Rivers grow up. Man, I've watched him grow up on these trips and man, he prayed for these folks. I've watched them get out and open door. I watched our kids work hard last year. Man, I don't know if I've ever seen them work so hard. I mean, they're physically working hard. They're spiritually working hard. They're praying for people, sharing the gospel. Y'all, this is what we want to see. We want to be a church on mission. We don't want to be a church that's just, you know, sit back comfy. You know what? You know what I experience here at Christ Community every time I come in? I experience a peace and I experience a joy. A peace of knowing, hey, I'm at home where God wants me to be. And you know what I hear out there in that crazy lobby that I call the Beehive? Laughter, cutting up, sharing, talking. You know, if you have the biggest building in the world and you have the biggest budget in the world, but you don't got laughing, You ain't got nothing. It's easier to get the money to build a building than it is to get your joy back if you've given it away because you've become salty and cynical and everything else. Do y'all understand? It's easier to get the millions of dollars that build these buildings than it is to get your joy back if you don't watch out. Church, let's always side on that laughing and joy and saying, wow, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. We ain't got to take ourselves too serious. We can just be right out there. All right, let's get into the Word. I'm going to make some statements and ask some questions, okay? So it's going just a little bit different. You know, I'm not just preaching right through. First statement I'm going to make is this. Do not run away from the Lord's Word. Do not run away from the Lord's Word. It says here, the Word of the Lord came to Jonah, told him arise and go, but Jonah arose and fled. It says, in the NIV, it says, the Word of the Lord came to Jonah, but Jonah ran away from the Lord. Y'all, there is no way to be happy in Jesus when you're running away. I'm convinced of this. God asks us to do some things in His name. We might feel so entitled that we're like, God doesn't have a right to ask us. But I'm going to tell you my point of view. I'm a sinner saved by grace, fully dependent on God, not only to save me, but to keep me saved and get me there. He can ask me whatever He wants. You understand? We don't need to run from Him. God doesn't ask you things to hurt you. He asks you things because it's part of His plan. It's going to bring Him glory. And I'm going to tell you, when you're part of God's plan, you're going to get built up too. It's going to work on you. What happened to Jonah when he said, no, Lord, when he got up and ran away? I kind of have it in on your handout here, and it just reflects the things that happened. Now it said, as soon as he ran away, he said he went down to Joppa. And he found a ship. He went down into the ship. Once he got in the ship, he had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship. Once he got down to the lowest parts of that, he laid down. I know y'all couldn't see me, but I really wanted to lay on the floor. The problem is, I don't know that I can get back up. But we got close to an offensive line right here on the front row. They'd probably pick me up if I needed to. But man, he just kept going down. There's a reason why the Scripture used it that way. It's almost like to catch your attention. Like, see? Do you see what happened? When he went, he said, no, Lord, I'm not going to be that patient. I'm not going to give that. I'm not going to talk to them. I'm not going to endure this. I'm not going to go there. And he just went down, 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 down. Till he got to the lowest. Then he thought he could go. But what do y'all know about the story of Jonah? He got lower. They picked him up and chunked him off, and a big fish swallowed him up and went down, 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 lower. You can get awful low. And when I meet a Christian, or when I myself follow myself low and down, or I find myself being down low, usually it's because I've said no to God some reason or another. Usually there's something in my life. Either God said, John, don't do that, and I said, I'm going to do it. He said, John, do this, and I'm like Jonah, and I said, no, not going to do that. That's usually going to be the source of why I'm getting so down. So, how about you? I can't even see you anymore, so it'd be confidential. How about you? Are you running from the Lord in any way in your life today? I'm telling you, God is all the help we need, but we got to come to Him. We got to come His way. He doesn't help us on our schedule. He doesn't help us according to our values. He doesn't help us according to our way. He doesn't help us according to our convenience. Lord, can you help me conveniently get, you know, these things out of my life? No, God says, come to me. He's the answer. Whatever the question is, whatever the hurt is, I promise. The Bible says this, He gave us His Son, so we ought to know that with Him He has given us all things. In other words, when He gave us the best, He's given us everything else with Him. He's the answer. When we run from Him, we got no choice but to keep going down. Keep going down. Uh-oh. Were you waving at me? Okay, I couldn't even see. I just saw waving going on. I was like, oh my goodness. Hi, Jamie. Point number two, moving right along from chapter two. Y'all, in this world, you're bound to get down, right? You're bound to have times. You're bound to disobey God. You might say, John, don't say that. Well, I'm just being honest. There's going to be times when you do it. There's going to be times when you experience the discipline, the chastisement of the Lord. There's going to be times when you're convicted. There's going to be times when you think you can run off your own personality and your own energy and your own juice, and all of a sudden all that winds down and you are like, oh, I'm empty. When you get down, do remember to pray to the Lord. Hey, when you get down, remember the Lord. This is what Jonah says over in chapter 2. He's in the belly of the fish. He done got lower than anything he thought, because who would have thought he'd get swallowed by a fish? Jonah didn't pray. You know, he didn't know it. But it says, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And then over there in verse 7, it says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you. When my soul fainted, when my spiritual energy was tapped, when everything was done and I was depressed and I was down and I was hopeless, he said, it was weeds. Right? You ever been overwhelmed? You know, usually when we use that term, we're talking about the circumstances of life. But he was talking about the waves in the stomach, you know, chemicals inside that great fish. They're over his head. He was literally overwhelmed. And what did he do? Prayed. Y'all, I know that we say we pray. I haven't hardly met anybody in this whole, you know, time of living, you know, try to find somebody who says they don't pray. I've prayed, John, and I've tried that. Man, I wonder if you ever saw yourself like Jonah saw himself. No hope but God. I wonder sometimes when we pray, we're just trying to get God, get us back on my plan, God. Get me back on my scheme, on my hustle, on my way. I'll take over from there. There's a movie where this guy is, he can't swim and he gets chunked out in the water, kind of like Jonah, but there was no fish. And he can't swim and the waves are hitting him and piling over his head and he keeps sinking down and popping back up and he's going, Lord, help me, help me. I'll give you everything I got if you just help me. And the tide was coming in, so the next time he bobbed up, he was closer to the sea, closer to the shore. And he said, Lord, help me. Help me. And looked, he saw he's a little bit closer to the shore. He said, I'll give you 75% of everything I got. Wave knocks him back down, pushes him back up, and he's even closer to shore. Lord, help me. Help me. I'll give you half of everything. We'll do half of everything we got. And wave hits him, pushes him under, drags him far enough to where his feet are on the ground, and he stands up. He looks around and he says, never mind, God, I got this. Now, if you're praying like that, I guess we know why God's not answering that prayer. But if you get to that mindset, I ain't trying to get my own hope back, my own agenda back. I'm just trying to say, Lord, I'm just coming to you. Y'all, whenever I think of prayer, I think my knees are bent. My head is bent. My hands are folded. My eyes are closed. It's not about me. It's me submitting to God and saying, I'm yours. I'm in your hands. I'm in your hands. I'm not asking you just to help me back on my own way that got me in this trouble in the first place. Can you imagine that for Jonah? I don't want to just get in the same predicament. Man, I want to walk with you. I want to yield it all to you. So today, I wonder if you would remember, if you have anything you need to remember in the Lord, like Jonah, to where you say, I got no hope in this area. I got no hope with this, except for the Lord. I wonder if you might turn that over to Him today. What would happen at Christ Community Church if people said, it's not within my ability to carry all this guilt, all this shame, and all this sin. I'm going to put it on. I'm going to say, Lord Jesus, would you take it from me? Take all of it from me. The guilt that I have. The feelings of failure. Anybody here a parent? Yeah. Do we have no parents in here? Okay. I was just checking. I didn't think there were. I thought this was all no-parented people. If you're a parent, I bet you at some point or another you've experienced a sense of failure, guilt, regret. Maybe feel like you didn't do right. You reckon that's helpful for you? To be toting? Ain't nothing I can do to fix what happened. You know, that same vice preacher? Man, I've sometimes yelled at him, not out of anything, but just flat out anger. And it affected him. You can see how ugly it is. That's the anger lashing out at him. I mean, but he's you know, like my right hand man. But you know, I know I've spoke to him wrong. What can I do to make that up? He probably says, "You can get me a truck, Dad, and that would make me feel much better." But the reality is, I can't go back and fix it, but I can give it over. I can give whatever I count as my failures and my lapses and my sins, my outburst of wrath, which the Bible says is not from God, it's not godly, and I can give all that to Christ and say, you know what, everything, it's been taken care of. I'm going to remember the Lord. I can't go back in time and fix not one thing, but I can look to my Savior and pray and say, Lord, I remember you in this, and you're my only hope. From chapter 3 of the book of Jonah. And I didn't put this on here, but I want to say this. Part of the beautiful thing of chapter 3, and it's just not where I was going, but I don't want to overlook it. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." Are you glad for second chances? What about third chances? What about? How many chances? Anybody want to say how many chances they're up to? Randy's more than the fingers and the toes, isn't it? Yeah. Man, aren't you glad? You know, for people who have this rigid view of God, God is all this and God like this, and God's, you know, no grace and all these things. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being so patient with us. But the point I wanted to bring out kind of sprawls over the whole chapter. God says, listen to this. God says, arise, go preach the message that I tell you. The message that God told him wasn't really, you know, it wasn't something that we would say, ooh, you got to go listen to Jonah's sermon on CD. It was wonderful. Wow. He said this. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Hey, did y'all repent yet? Am I going to have to preach it again? Yet in 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. Man, it's not working with y'all like it did with Jonah. But the point I'm trying to make, that's what Jonah preached, man. The power's not in the messenger. The power's in the message. The power's in the Word of God. The Word of God is living and powerful. God's Word won't fail. He said, arise, go and preach. What happened when he went and preached? It said, so the people believed God. And then what did God do? It says, God relented from the disaster. So he said to his man, get up, go preach. Man, preach the message I tell you. Respect the word. Give them the word. Don't give them your opinion. Give them the word. He gives them the word that God told them. The people believed and they were saved from the disaster to come. In that culture, That gave that country probably a little over 100 years more time. You all know, we know enough about history. Countries don't last forever. Everybody sitting in their own country thinks their country's going to last forever. Even in America, right? Especially America. We are like, we're America, baby. America. Ain't no America. We're America. We're going to be there. Man, I love America. I love America. All right? I'm all about some America. But I'm a citizen of heaven. First and foremost. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what God's plan is for our future. I know this. Our country looks more fragile over in my lifetime than what it seemed like when I read about other periods of time in the country. It seems fragile. That might not be a bad thing. Maybe it's our fragility that's going to make us call on the Lord in a desperate way and say, in our country, what we need is God. But I know this, The preacher preached the message God told him to preach. The people believed the message, and God saved the people. Not a bad program. Not a bad way to go. And gave that country over 100 years before it was it was wiped out. Okay? But not at that point, because the preacher preached, the people believed, and God relented. Y'all, our ministry, our mission, getting the word out, is important. It's important not just for you and me. I believe it's important for the United States of America. You know, I believe it's important for all of us that we are a light, that we are sending missionaries out, that we are helping in disaster relief when countries fall into it and stuff. I believe that it's meant to be that. It's important. But make sure we're giving out His message. Make sure we're giving out the truth. Making sure we're breaking the bread of life. Not just handing out platitudes or nice sayings or happy thoughts or good vibes. Give them the word. Give them the word. I wonder today, you're sitting here, you might say, I've lost my trust in the word of God. Now, maybe you wouldn't say that out loud. My guess is you wouldn't. But maybe you'd admit that you stay away from the word of God and you're not in it reading it. Maybe you'd admit that you are no longer sharing the word. Or maybe you've never have. Maybe it's time in the mission that God has for Christ Community Church every day of the week here in Grenada, Mississippi, we ought to say, in order for us to see the work of God happen, I'm going to renew my trust in God's Word and I'm going to share it. If you're on social media in any way, would you raise your hand up, please? God. All right, you put them back down. Would y'all say that was a majority? Yeah, I think there was a majority. I ain't telling you that you got to make your every post something about Scripture. Something I know you got. There's birthdays. There's good things. There's funny things. But that's another avenue. If you're thinking, I don't know who I can share it with. Well, you don't know who you're sharing it with when you put it online. Man, we've been trying to record these services lately on Facebook, and Mr. Bill's got some kind of rig up there right now recording Facebook Live, and. And y'all, I remember we were doing the same thing at the Foundry Church, and there was a missionary who lived in Kilmaika or Kosciuszko. He was in Thailand, and he was watching Facebook Live back at the Foundry. My relatives, and I don't know if they're on there because they wouldn't be queued into to his, you know, Facebook like they would be mine. But I have my relatives in Michigan who I don't get to see and I don't get to preach to, jumping in on there and liking it and commenting and saying things, y'all. It's just another way to get the word out. Just get the word out. Man, we don't got to overthink it all. Get the word out. Let the word do what it's going to do. What did Jesus say? He said, you cast the word out. Man, now, not every heart's going to receive it and grow fruit, but some will. Some will. Get the word out. Last but not least, chapter 4. And we'll look at all these questions again at the end of the sermon, but here's the last statement. Accept the Lord's values over your comfort. Accept the Lord's values over your comfort. In this chapter, we get a beautiful insight into the character of one of God's people. I don't hold any animosity, and we ought not, to those who came before us in the Lord, like Jonah. We all learn from him. Jonah got downright upset. Just boop, mad, red-faced. Like literally red-faced because the sun was beating down on him. He was so mad. He was mad that God was gracious to the people he was gracious to. That was first off. But he was so angry. He was out in the desert. He was watching. And it says God made a plant grow up overnight. God can do that. Hey, y'all remember that experiment where you got the clear plastic cup and you put the soil in it and then you take the kernel of corn and you put that in there? And for some reason there was a napkin in there too to keep the moisture in, and you had to watch it, you know? And how long? That was the slowest growing corn you ever seen. I mean, because as soon as a kid gets it and puts the seed in, you're expecting corn to pop out. You're like, I put it in there and you're watching. Boop, 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 boop. Come on. Where you at? I put this in 5 minutes ago and there ain't no corn. You know, but it's a lesson in patience. You're just watching it, and you're watching it, and finally it starts sprouting some little things out in the dirt, you know, and then eventually a little green thing with a little leafy dew on there, it starts hanging out and waving at you like, hello, and you're like, you know, you name it by then, hello, Tom. Tom the corn. And I have no idea. But it's so cool. But it says this. It says, the Lord prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be possible for shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful. It's verse 7 now. But the morning dawned the next day, and God prepared a worm. And so it damaged the plant, and it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared. God's doing a lot of preparing. Do y'all know God's a preparer, by the way, not a reactor? Okay, he's a preparer. He plans. He's a planner. And so he prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And then Jonah wished death for himself. It's better for me to die than to live because of my plant. Then God spoke to Jonah. Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? I know all you gardeners and plant-loving, tree-hugging folks are going to be like, it is right, John. It is right. Plants are people, too. No, they're not. Anyway. Jonah said, it is right for me to be angry even to death. Let's stop there for a second. Y'all, Jonah was on empty. Jonah was flat out on empty. I mean, he'd been through a crazy ordeal. We can understand it. He'd been swallowed up by a fish, spit back out, preached for 3 days straight. Even though it was a simple message, that's a lot of preaching. He was wore out, tired, empty. Wasn't thinking about him. Wasn't thinking about the Lord. Wasn't thinking about the mission. Was only thinking about himself. He got so distraught that he was willing to die. I've been there, where I didn't think anything mattered anymore, really. I've been there. We're going to see it's actually going to get worse for Jonah here in a minute, but to where I've thought, why? What good is it? I'm so tore up inside. The way things happen on the outside ain't the way I've really wanted. And I sit there and I get into this pity party, and I get into this place where I think it's just better off. Man, heaven's waiting. It'd just be better off. And I just get empty. I ain't saying I try anything weird. When I was a teenager, I had those thoughts. But even as I've grown, I've thought, I've gotten to the brink of being empty and thinking, what is the point? What's the point? Ain't nobody going to miss this whole thing. This whole world will keep rolling. The crock pots will keep cooking. Church preachers will keep preaching. Everything will keep going. It's not always that I want to die. But maybe sometimes just you want to leave. And you just want to run. Can I tell you, I'm more of a runner than a fighter. You know, I just am. I'm a flighter, man. Is that a word? Man, if it starts getting hostile, I ain't going to sit there and live in a hostile environment. I'd much rather just leave. You know? But then I think, but when I'm thinking like that, I'm not thinking about God's resources. I'm not thinking about God's mission. I'm not thinking about God at all. I'm thinking about me. What I can do in my strength, what I can do in my time, what I can do, and it's disappointing. You ever think about yourself and just get disappointed? It's because you're thinking about yourself outside of God. We ain't meant to live outside of God's strength. We're not meant to live without God there prompting and promising and carrying and empowering. If you ain't got the power to do it, thank God. Then God can work through you like He did in Gideon. Remember Gideon's army? Too many, you got too many people, Gideon. 30,000. Oh, it chops it down to 10,000. You got too many people, Gideon. Chops it down to 300. He's coming up against like 50 or 60,000 with 300. And what did God say? Now, when you get the victory, people will know it was me. And what happened to that army he was fighting? They got rid of themselves. God orchestrated it perfect. Man, we can trust Him. You get to the end of yourself and you're like Jonah. I just wish, just take me out. Just take me out. Look up. Pray. realize you're not alone. You're not alone in several ways. One, there's people, let's say just in this church. Y'all look around. Look around. Everybody look. Don't look at me. Look around. Look around. Look. You see everybody? You've just seen somebody. I promise you've seen somebody besides me who's been at that point. You're not alone. You get it? You're not alone. You know what that means? In a real practical way, we should be able to talk to each other about this stuff. We should be able to stop playing pretend church where everybody's got it all together and sometimes say, I just feel so empty and used up, I could die. I could leave. Or I could cry. Can I tell you? Ain't no shame in crying. Cry it out. Cry out to God. Cry out until you feel, you know, till the boogers are all over your face and you just don't know what to do and you're wiping it and slopping all over and you're like... And then find Carrie Sagebear and hug her. Love you, sister! That's when she's like, and now he hugged me and I'm ready to die. Man, we ought to be there for each other. Not pretend to be there, but be there. You know why people ain't... Know why we don't open up? We're afraid as soon as we open up, say something stupid about ourselves, we're going to get judged. Boom. The hammer's going to come down. Boom. Ooh, I didn't know you were like that, stinky. Look at you. Oh, my goodness, you're not good at this, you're not good at that. You do this, you do that. Oh! We need to be in a church where we can say... Man, this is who I am. I'm not saying it's who I'm not proud. I'm not saying that I'm gonna I'm not defiantly saying this is who I am and I'll always be this way no matter what. I'm saying help. Help. Because I don't know how to go on. That's what Jonah man, that's Jonah needed and who's talking to Jonah? What a great person to talk to when you're in that place. Talking to God. Did you see how God called him really stupid and said, I want you to die and I'm going to kill you myself? Wait, that must be in the... It's not in there. God's talking to him. God asked him a question. I love this. He says, should you have been mad about the plan? Yes, I should have been mad about... There's foot stomping in this. You know, you can't read this part of Jonah without stomping your foot. Yes, I had all the every right to be... Then, Jonah, then God explains himself to Jonah. Does God owe you and me an explanation on anything? Does he? Does he ever have to tell you why? So why does he? When he does, why does he? It's because he loves you. It's the same thing when he was talking to Abraham. He had that conversation. Should I reveal my heart and my plans to Abraham? To Abram, should I tell him what's going on? Should I talk to him like a friend talks to a friend? And he did. He chose to. Because, not because he had to, not because he owed Abraham an explanation, but he wanted to talk with him. He wants to relate to you. When he's talking to Jonah, this crazy, bad attitude, running on empty prophet, God gives him this explanation. He says this, you have pitied a plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Should I, this is the God of the universe talking, should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, and in which more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right and their left, plus much livestock, should I not have pity on them? This is what I'm talking about, cultivating God's heart. Jonah had a heart for that which he did not labor, that came up in a night and went in a night, that provided him comfort. But he didn't have a heart like God had. And can I tell you, none of us do without developing that, without growing, without getting in the Word, without submitting ourselves to God. You want to know if you're growing in maturity? Let this be a sign that your heart starts loving what God loves, that your heart starts loving who God loves, and that love propels you to do things you are otherwise uncomfortable doing. Can I give a caught us doing something good report? Lindsay, I know she's in conversation. I know I didn't mean to pull you all out, but her Aunt Lenny, our friend, our sister in Christ, needed blood. And Lindsay took her skills and she organized a blood drive. I hate giving blood. I hate having things poked into my body. It's a blanket statement, but it's true. Don't like it. Freaks me out. Makes me faint. Gets me woozy. It's awful. But you know, there's sometimes, and this is a small thing, but there was 44 people who went to that blood drive to give of their blood to help our sister and our friend. And you know what it did? Lenny don't have to pay that part of her payments, the part for blood transfusions and all the stuff which she needs a lot of. All that's taken care of now. Isn't that right? All that's taken care of now. Isn't that awesome? So, because there were so many people, it took a while. Some people were there for 2 hours trying to give blood, doing all this. They sacrificed time. They sacrificed being comfortable. But why did they move? Why did they move? Because they said, the Lord loves Lenny. We love Lenny. We'll be inconvenienced. It's okay. I took a picture of myself. Took a little selfie. It's the most pitiful picture I've ever seen of myself ever. People were asking me if I was in the ambulance. I'm like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm just giving blood. I don't like it at all. Hey, as soon as they saw that face on me, they started putting cold packs under my chin and behind my head. It's like, they didn't even talk to me. They're like, we got a sissy in bed four, sissy in bed four. I start lining him up with stuff. You know, yeah, I don't even want to see it. It's a pitiful picture. But, you know, it's awful. You know, but you know what? When we as a church get to where we're living based on what God loves, because He's put that love in our heart and it's been cultivated, and we start doing those things, we start reaching those people, we start going to those places compelled by the love of God. That's the great sign of maturity. Love is always the great sign of maturity in the Christian church. Love one another as I have loved you, that they may know you are my disciples. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the great commandment. And love your neighbor as yourself. Can you think of anything? You know, he says even love fulfills all the law. All the commandments hang on the first two. Love God and love your neighbor. When we grow in our love, what a sign of maturity. Any other sign of maturity pales in comparison. Matter of fact, I can say this. If you know, have all knowledge of the Bible and spiritual things, but have not love, it's worthless. If you got all the faith in the world that you can move mountains, but you have not love, you have nothing. If you're so generous that you give all that you possess to the poor and you allow your body to be burned for charity, but you have not love, you profit nothing. If you speak eloquently with the tongues of men and of angels, but you have not love, you're not but a sounding gong and a clanging cymbal. Y'all catch where I was coming? That wasn't something I wrote, right? What ought we be developing in our heart? That love that God has. That is the sign of maturity. It's not how much you know. It's not how well you behave. It's not all these things. Now we want to get all those things while we're going. But love is the key. Jonah so loved his comfort that it was okay that 120,000 people went to the hot place without knowing God. Do y'all notice that? He didn't care about the 120,000 people that were around him. And like Jonah, I can tell you this too. Not only do I get empty and sometimes don't care about myself, I get empty and stop caring about everybody else around me too. We might not say, hey, you all can go to the hot place. But we might be living like it, thinking like it, and acting like it. Can I tell you something? Christian, God didn't put you in this world just to be about you and your comfort. He didn't put you to be in the prosperity, you know, whatever the prosperity people do. I have no idea. I'm so far from there. But I'm on the road to heaven, man. I'm going to live in a place that God designed. It's going to be better than any 5-star or whatever. You got what I'm saying? Oh man, I'm rich. I'm rich in Christ. I'm wealthy in the Lord. And that's huge. Okay? But y'all, we need to have a heart for these folks. And what kind of folks were they? And I'm going to end on this. What kind of folks were they? It says they didn't know their right hand from their left hand. Ignorant people. That's what they were. They were ignorant. Ignorant of the ways of God. Ignorant of the people of God. Ignorant of the Word of God. Ignorant of the ways. Ignorant of church. Ignorant of everything. And yet this is exactly who He says, I have pity on them. Last question. Do you need to realign your heart with God's heart? Do you need to realign your heart with God's heart? That's how we grow. It's how we grow in the Lord. It's how we grow as a church. It's how we grow. I'm going to read these questions and I'm going to pray and we'll have a time of invitation. If there's anything you need to deal with the Lord in this, it's your time, okay? The first question is, are you running away from the Lord in any way in your life? Are you running away from the Lord? Do you need to remember the Lord in any circumstance that's just whooping your tail right now today? Do you need to remember the Lord and say, in this area of my life, whatever it is, it could be relational, it could be financial, it could be spiritual, it could be in any, it could be in health, whatever it is. You might say, I've been toting this, and it's time for me to just turn it over to the Lord and remember the Lord in this area. Do you need to renew your trust in His Word? This is the most concrete one to me. If you're not in the Word, I bet somewhere you've just lost your trust a little bit. It's become, you know, you're not thinking it's as important. You know, it's not really the Word that does things. I'm just here to tell you it's really the Word. It's really God who does it. It really is Him. Okay? He's the one. The Holy Spirit is powerfully activating the Word of God in people's lives that they might believe and get saved. Not your word or my word, but His Word. Renew that trust in His Word. And lastly, do you need to realign your heart with God? I don't know of anything or anybody who doesn't from time to time need a realignment. If you're too proud to think you need a realignment, that's probably because you need a realignment. Okay? We all go through that. Ain't no harm, no foul in saying I've let my heart get away and I'm on empty and I'm mean toward myself, I'm mean to other folks, I've just let everybody just leave me alone, I just want to live my life. Maybe you need to realign. Whatever it is, now's your time. We're going to have an invitation. You do business with God however you see fit. I'm going to pray, but this is your time. If you want to come up here, you can come up here and pray. You want to pray where you are, pray where you are. If you want God to wake you up in the middle of the night, knocking on your soul and saying, hey, remember what the preacher said, I want to talk to you, then you do that too, okay? But do business with God when He calls on you. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for this time. And we give You all the praise. And I ask, Lord, that You do Your work. I thank You for how You do Your work. I know when we're yielded to You, You do Your work. We count on You. I count on You. Father, help us in every area that was spoken today. We love You and we give You the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. River, I've been bragging on you so much. Would you pray for us? All right, thank you.
Lord, thank You for this wonderful day, Lord. I just want to pray that everybody has learned at least one thing today, Lord. I just want to pray that we have understood that running from God won't help you no matter what, because either way You're going to come back and get us just like You did with Jonah, Lord. I just want to pray for just everybody being here. Outside today with the greeters ministry, we're talking about how people just flocked in, and it was awesome. Because that just shows You're moving, Lord, no matter what, Lord. I just want to pray that everybody has a safe trip home, Lord, and that no matter what, if someone didn't have their time with You, Lord, today, that they would have it, Lord. Amen. Peace.
thank you for loving us. We're all going to get out of here. Money's coming. Budget's coming. I'm just thank you for the five people who are going to stay. They're wonderful and faithful in all they do. And Lord, we do love you. Keep us safe as we go. Remind us of how awesome you are and how much you want us to grow in that likeness, and you make that possible. Lord, we love you and give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you for letting me be your pastor, and I love you. Ready? Break.